Who's in the Christmas spirit this morning? Anyone in the Christmas spirit this morning? I went to the Christmas concert last night, and I got to tell you, I was definitely feeling filled up with the Spirit after participating in that wonderful worship last night. If you are still trying to get into the spirit of the season, there's a website that's called WikiHow, and they give 18 suggestions of how you can get into the Christmas spirit. If you have already checked this off your Christmas list already this Advent, I want you to raise your hand as I go through this list. Number one, watch a great Christmas movie like It's a Wonderful Life or Elf. Have you watched a movie yet? We all just watched a clip a moment ago. Come on, you just all watched a little clip a moment ago. Okay, number two, get in touch with family or friends. Are you here in church today? You've got friends all around you, right? Number three, read a great Christmas classic like How the Grinch Stole Christmas or Polar Express. Have you done that yet this year? No, maybe not. Number four, decorate your house. Who's still waiting to do that? Oh, okay, we got some people who've done that. That's good, good. Some of you still need to get the candles out, get the tree going. Number five, make a to-do list. Yeah, some people are big to-do lists. I am not a to-do list person. Number six, send out Christmas cards. Who's done that? I got my first Christmas card in the mail yesterday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Number seven, make a Christmas list. Do you know what you want for Christmas this year? Do you give it to your kids? Your mom and your dad maybe? I don't know. Number eight, clean the house. I'm not seeing many hands. That's all right. That's all right. Number nine, make a countdown to Christmas. Yeah, okay. Number 10, get an Advent calendar. That seems like the same thing, doesn't it? And it seems redundant. I don't know. Number 11, take time off. Have you taken time off yet? No one's taken time off yet. Well, we'll get a little closer. Number 12, get creative with Christmas meals. I think this accounts for all Christmas cookies. Have you made Christmas cookies? All right, there you go. All right. Number 13, make people laugh with Christmas puns. Anyone? Hey, this is not my list. Make people, okay, give it a try. You'll thank me later. You get it? You'll thank me. Oh, sorry, terrible. I know. Okay. Okay, number 14, hang some mistletoe. We got two people admitting to smooching here. That's all right. It's all right. Number 15, listen to Christmas music. We do. Come on, everyone should be raising their hand. We just sang some a moment ago. Now, WikiHow suggests 21 songs to sing during the holiday season. Not one of them is a Christmas carol. Not one of them has anything remotely to do with Jesus, the real reason for the season. You see where I'm going here? I think some of you do. Number 16, give to charity. It's a good thing. Skagit feeds kids. It's a good thing. Number 17, give gifts. Have you given a gift yet? Number 18, smile at anything and everything. Like Buddy the Elf, smile. WikiHow gives us 18 ideas to get into the Christmas spirit, and there's nothing wrong with any of those suggestions. But wouldn't it have been nice if they had included something, anything that was distinctly Christian, like worshiping God on Christmas Eve, or, I don't know, opening up the Bible and reading the nativity story that we find in the Holy Scriptures? The true spirit of Christmas has nothing to do with mistletoe or Christmas cookies or wearing a really groovy Christmas sweater. No. We all know that Christmas is about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, being born in a manger in Bethlehem. But it's more than that. It's also about God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, on all humanity. The true spirit of Christmas is actually the Holy Spirit at work in the world. This morning, we turn to the prophet Joel. Pastor Vicky was reading a little bit to us a moment ago, repent, repent, repent. Joel now tells us what happens at the end of the age, at the day of the Lord. He promises that on the day of the Lord, that God's Holy Spirit is going to pour out on all flesh, on all people, on all humanity. That means you, that means me, that means everyone in anticipation of the gospel. That promise began to be realized even before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There are still a lot of people who need to experience the true Christmas spirit, and we can help them by showing them the new life that we have found, getting to know this baby Jesus, and getting filled up with the Spirit of the living God, what I am calling this morning the real Christmas spirit. So let's turn to Joel chapter 2, shall we? Verses 28 through 32. Joel promises, then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. God's word. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Old Testament is filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the Old Testament? I've known great Christians, people who know their Bible well, who are surprised to learn that the Holy Spirit is working busily in the Old Testament. Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, these were all heroes of the Bible that were empowered by the Holy Spirit so that they could save Israel in the name of God. King Saul danced like a wild man. King David was equipped to be a leader. King Solomon was given the gift of the wisdom because of the Holy Spirit. And the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel, they all promised that God was going to pour out his Holy Spirit into the world. The Holy Spirit comes up again and again and again in the Old Testament. Whenever there has been a special need, God has given his Holy Spirit to special people. What makes today's scripture so remarkable and so different from anything else in the Old Testament is the promise that Joel makes on behalf of God that the Holy Spirit is going to pour out on all flesh. And what he means here is all of humanity, every single man, woman, child in the world. The Holy Spirit is not just for heroes and kings and prophets anymore. Joel sees a day when everybody will be made special by the Spirit of God. As I was getting ready for today's sermon, I noticed for the first time, really for the first time, how much the Holy Spirit shows up right before the Christmas story. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but the Holy Spirit pops up again and again in anticipation of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Really struck me this year. The true Christmas spirit is God's presence and God's power working in the lives of ordinary people in extraordinary ways. On Christmas, we are reminded that God sent his Holy Spirit to everyone, regardless of their gender, regardless of their age, regardless of their race. First, the Holy Spirit breaks down the division between men and women. Joel tells us, your sons and daughters will prophesy. And that was a pretty radical promise in those sexist days, the idea that women could prophesy. You see, in women's day, in Joel's day, women were considered second-class citizens. They could not hold any property of their own. They could not work except for in one job, which you wouldn't want them to be working in. Women depended on their fathers and their husbands and their sons to take care of them. They didn't have a voice in any court of law. Women were second-class citizens in that world, which is bizarre because throughout the Old Testament, God sent his Holy Spirit to use women to speak up and to prophesy in his name. Did you know that? There are plenty of women prophets in the Bible. There's Miriam and Huldah and Deborah and Noadiah and Isaiah's wife. We don't even know her name. We just know she was a prophet. We know that God poured out his Spirit on women heroes like Rachel and Hannah and Abigail. The Old Testament makes it abundantly clear that God has always poured out his Holy Spirit on men and women, always, from the very beginning of God's story. And yet, when Joel promises that sons and daughters are going to be filled up with the Holy Spirit so that they could prophesy, that seemed really countercultural in that day. Now, the Christmas story tells us that the Spirit of God, the Christmas Spirit, was moving 9 months before Jesus was born. If you turn to Matthew 1:20, it's on the screen behind you. The Holy Spirit shows up with an angel. God sends an angel to speak to Joseph and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God comes to a son, the son of David, and gives him this good news of the Holy Spirit working his life. But it doesn't just end there. If you skip to Luke 1:35, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary was so filled up with the Holy Spirit that she started singing. She broke out into song, the very first Christmas carol, the very first hymn of the season. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She's so filled up with the Holy Spirit that she opens up her mouth and she sings out to God. She becomes a prophet. In fact, the next thing she does, the next words we hear, are a prophecy that Mary starts preaching to the people who are around her. She says that when her boy Jesus is born, that he's going to bring down the rulers and he's going to lift up the humble. That Jesus would feed the hungry and he would send the rich away empty before the Christ child is even born. The Holy Spirit fell on sons and daughters and turned them into prophets. Joel's prophecy is coming true 9 months before that baby was born in the manger. Second thing that happens is that the Holy Spirit breaks down the divisions between the young and the old. There has always been tension between the generations. The millennial generation, today's young people, the teenagers these days, they are unfairly labeled as lazy, entitled, and too cool for anything. Don't agree with this, because I'm going to mention all the generations here, okay? Be careful. My own generation, X, 20 years ago, you know what they were saying about my generation? They were saying that we were apathetic, cynical slackers. I didn't feel very apathetic. I'm not cynical. I'm no slacker. Baby boomers. Yeah, I'm looking at some of you right now. They called you hippies, they called you yuppies, and then they called you the me generation. No snickering if you're in the generation above the baby boomers. The silent generation, what, that's not a very good name, is it? The silent generation got picked on because they weren't as great as the greatest generation. How nice is that, the greatest generation? We all pale in comparison to that. There's always been tension between the generations. It goes back hundreds of years. Open up a newspaper from 100 years ago, and you know what you find? You find adults complaining that kids are spending way too much time with their noses in books. This is true. The same way they complained about my generation watching too much TV when I was a kid, and the way that we complain about our kids spending too much time looking at their devices, their smartphones, their iPads, iPods, whatever. Every generation has something critical to say about the group before them and the group behind them. It's always been this way. The big difference between today and biblical times is that now there's this glamorization of youth. The modern media celebrates the young and the beautiful, and it neglects the old and the wise. Some of you don't like the way that that's going. Some of you might prefer the biblical model. Oh yeah, this is biblical. Back in biblical days, it was the elderly that were honored and the youth that were disdained. Do you know what the Bible says about gray hair? Do you know what it says about gray hair? It says it is a crown of glory. Some of you have crowns of glory right now. Each and every year, I'm getting a little more glory right on the sides. I don't know what the Bible says about bald heads. I'm a little worried about that. That crown on the top of my head. If you're over the age of 50, the good old days might sound pretty good right about now. But Joel's promise suggests that all this stuff is going to be overturned. All this age discrimination is going to be flipped upside down, because old men are going to dream dreams and young men are going to catch new visions. Everyone is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to see God's preferred future, young and old. Consider the story of Elizabeth, who was related to Mary. The Bible doesn't tell us how. We usually just call them cousins. I'm okay with that. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, they were old. I mean, they were really old. They were too old to have children. I'm guessing that they had crowns of glory on their head. An angel of the Lord visited Zechariah and announced that his prayers had finally been answered. Elizabeth was going to deliver a son named John. The angel declared, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Have you noticed this much Holy Spirit in these Christmas stories before? Have you really paid attention to this? I don't know. I'm excited about it. I'm learning something new. I keep on learning new things about the Bible. Even before he's born. In utero, John's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The angel also promised that John would grow up in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. In case you're not getting that, he's saying, parents, you're going to take care of your kids, and kids, you listen to the grown-ups, okay? In spite of her advanced age, Elizabeth became pregnant. And when Mary came to visit her relative Elizabeth, the baby, John, who would grow up to be John the Baptist, John leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Zechariah was speechless. He was unable to speak because he did not believe the promise of the angel immediately. But that didn't stop Elizabeth, this old woman, from preaching, from prophesying. And what does she say? She says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you shall bear." God did not care that Elizabeth was an old woman. God did not care that John was still a fetus in the womb. The Holy Spirit got to work in both of them, and they both gave glory to God. My friends, no one is too old to dream a new dream, and no one is too young to catch a new vision. If you want evidence of this, go to the Christmas concert this afternoon. In the choir, there are some people that have crowns of glory. In the Sunshine Singers, there are children teaching you how to worship. The spirit of Christmas is for real, and it's working here at Bethany Covenant Church if you pay attention. Third, the Holy Spirit breaks down the divisions between the races. Joel promised, "Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Joel is talking about the foreigners, the slaves that were living in Israel at that time. They were in Israel, but they weren't of Israel because they had the wrong ethnic background. At least that's how Paul interprets Joel. We see this in Galatians 3:28. And Paul, he's got to be talking about Joel here. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female." It's also how Peter interprets Joel in Acts 2. Peter says, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children," and here's the kicker, "and for all who are far off, all the nations of the world." Foreigners would no longer be excluded from the promises of God because they had the wrong color skin, because they came from the wrong family, because they were wearing a Norwegian sweater instead of a Swedish sweater. Doesn't matter. All people are going to be united by the gospel of Jesus Christ. After Christmas, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus to visit the temple in Jerusalem for the very first time. And there was an old man at the temple, and his name was Simeon. You know this story? Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us three different times he's filled with the Holy Spirit. In case we don't understand, three times Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he had been told by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die before he saw the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. So, when Mary and Joseph enter the temple with the baby Jesus, Simeon is just filled up with the Holy Spirit, and he grabs the baby Jesus. I don't know how you feel about this, about some old guy grabbing a baby. There's no word about permission or anything. He just grabs the baby, right? The baby Jesus is in the hands of this little old man. Remember, old people were the most honored in that culture. So, of course, she lets the old man grab the baby. And he declares, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles." Simeon was filled with the Spirit, and he starts prophesying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he was going to bring the promises of God to all the nations of the world. Sure enough, Jesus would grow up to heal the servant of the centurion, a great big Roman thug guy. Jesus would go and he would heal the daughter of the foreign woman. And at the end of his ministry, Jesus would say in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and who? And the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit spread out to all the nations of the world. The Holy Spirit goes ahead of the gospel, preparing the way for the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, there's still a lot of sexism, a lot of racism, and a lot of age discrimination in the world. I'm guilty. The Christian church is guilty. Maybe some of you feel guilty too. The Holy Spirit has not made anyone I know perfect yet. But the Christmas story reminds us that God has poured out his Holy Spirit in preparation for Jesus. The walls that stand between us are doomed to crumble to the ground. You are now invited to participate in Holy Communion. The Lord's table is concrete evidence that the Holy Spirit is actually working in the world today. Men and women, young and old, rich and poor, blacks, whites, Asians, Latinos, all people are united at Christ's table. There's a great miracle happening at this table every time we go and we feast. And that's this. Strangers are becoming the family of God. This holiday season, don't go looking for the Christmas spirit in a shopping mall or under the Christmas tree or in wrapping paper. You're not going to find it there. The real Christmas spirit is waiting for you wherever men and women, old and young, insiders and outsiders are united in the love of God.